Why don't you pray with me, and we're going to go into the Word. Father, we just thank you for all the things that you're doing, God. You're a busy God. It's awesome, the things that you're doing in this season of our life, Lord. And we just pray right now that we would be able to hear your voice at a level that brings transformation. We just lay aside everything that would hinder that. I just declare this morning over every single person, it's easy to hear God speak. It's easy to hear God speak. And this morning, that we know our faith and our life is going to grow because we're going to hear you speak. So we say, come and have your way, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, one more thing, too. Our nursery is available if you have a need for that. But I just want to tell you what's going on in our children's ministry is absolutely amazing. Like, God is blowing the doors out through these kids specifically. And there are some more opportunities that we have schedule-wise where we're looking for, I think it's 3 or 4 more teachers that take on a month rotation once a quarter. They'll teach for the whole month. We also have helpers that will serve once a month in these children's ministry. But I'm going to tell you, what God is doing in there, you want to be a part of. I'm just telling you, it's absolutely incredible. I find myself wanting to go back there and just see what's happening in the life of these kids because my faith grows through that. But it's going to require the family of God taking a step and saying, hey, I will get on the rotation to help teach these kiddos. And Erica and Matt have been doing an incredible job in our Next Gen ministry. But Erica has been writing this curriculum and has got everything. When you walk in, Kelly was just telling me she served in toddler last week. And she says, I walked in and everything was ready for me. You know, I didn't have to think about one extra thing. It was ready there. She's been doing a great job with that. So we want to know that you would be equipped to go in there and just really release life over these kiddos and see what happens. So if you're interested in that, fill out one of our connection cards, drop it in the information or the offering box on your way out, and then somebody will be back in touch with you. So if you have your Bibles with you, why don't you open up to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Last night I had the blessing of spending, I don't know, probably 2 hours at least just worshiping with my family at home. And one of the things for me is I'm raising my kids to follow after the Lord. It's setting an atmosphere in my home, not relying, and I'm going to say this, as the pastor of the church, let me say this. It's I don't want to rely on the church to set the atmosphere of my home, right? So I might be the pastor, but when I take that title off, when I come into my home, I'm the father in my home. And so we do things here in the church, absolutely, to what Cindy said, to equip you for the work of ministry. Part of that work of ministry is how you set an atmosphere in your home where people, where your kids, your spouses can have an encounter with God for themselves, hear him speak, and see their faith grow. And so really what we do here should be something that is equipping you to step into that. But you got to know that you're the priest of your home. Dads, you're a father that can release something into your home that will shift an atmosphere. And it really, no matter the difficulty you face from your past, God will open up a door if you're willing to open up your heart for you to be an influence inside your home. And so for 2 hours last night, we're just worshiping God, just playing the guitar and then watching my kids come in, and they do kids things. Like, you know, they do sibling stuff. Like, oh, that was my toy and this and that. I mean, that's just normal stuff. But there's this atmosphere, then all of a sudden they'll start breaking out and start dancing around and start singing. And then they'll go back and do their kid thing. And the atmosphere of our home began to shift. I want to challenge you. Shift the atmospheres of your home. Part of what's going to happen of hashtag love New Braunfels is that what we've been doing in our own homes, that's what we're taking to the street. And we want to empower you to step into a deeper level of encounter. Part of the reason we're doing this Living Free conference too is because we believe that God is going to release something in this conference that's going to allow you to live freer than you've ever lived before, but also to help set a tone in your home of what freedom looks like in Christ Jesus. And that as you deal with normal life stuff, it's going to come in and encounter this atmosphere of freedom inside your house, and it's going to transform it. And so we really want you to be able to take advantage of the things that are happening here, because it's not about growing our church, it's about expanding his kingdom. And everywhere we go, we expand his kingdom. Now, this last week, I was in my private time with the Lord, and I just heard in my spirit. Go to John 13, 3 and 4. And so I turned to it, I read it, and I heard specifically in the NIV version, which is like, okay, and if you use a different translation, typically I'm reading New King and New Living, but I also have a study Bible, too, that's got multiple translations, but it was very specific. And so I think the wording that's in this this passage and then this translation, and God wants to really declare over us this morning. But so let me go ahead and read it, and then we'll unpack this. And I'm going to start actually John 13, verse 2, and then we'll unpack through verse 6. And it says this: the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. Let me read that again. Jesus knew. Let me hear you say, Jesus knew. Before I read this, this is not intellectual knowledge. Like, there was something inside of his heart that Jesus had a firm cornerstone understanding inside of his heart that was unshakable. There was a cornerstone in his life that no matter what was going on, because remember the verse we just read in verse 2 said the devil had already prompted Judas to betray him. And so Jesus, even in his innermost circle, had somebody that was going to stab him in the back. But even that did not move Jesus' heart, because it follows up. But Jesus knew. What did Jesus know? In his spirit. And if Jesus knows something, he wants you to know it. Let me hear you say, if Jesus knows something, he wants me to know it. And look, I understand that there's mysteries of the faith, and we must become comfortable living with mystery. Like, if you can get your mind around God, then you're not really studying God. Okay? You're studying a man-made thing. So there's always going to be something where there's a deeper mystery. But the point of the matter is, are you continuing to press in and discovering the character of God, asking him, getting intimate with him, getting understanding from him, always asking his questions? Whenever Jesus would do ministry, he would teach in parables. But then a lot of times he would sit down with his most intimate group and he'd say, okay, guys, let me tell you what I was actually talking about. He wants to bring you revelation. So if Jesus knows something, he wants you to know it. And if Jesus has something for you to know, it's meant to transform you in a good way. This isn't the knowledge of good and evil. This is the knowledge of him, a revelation that will allow you to live your life in a free way. And so it says that Jesus knew, and here's what he knew. The Father had put all things under his power. See, the first thing that Jesus knew is he knew his authority. What the devil's going to try to convince you of, and I see it happen all the time. I hear it in my own life. The attack of the enemy is trying to convince me that I have less authority than I really do. And there's this verse in James 4:7 that it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Well, here's the challenge. I believe that we miss the first part of that scripture. And we run up against these things, and whether it's a straight-out demonic attack, whether it's a lying belief system, whether it's hurt or frustration, we try to resist those things. But we skip the first step, which was what? Submit to God. There's something about surrender to the lordship of who God is that opens up a level of authority for me now to resist the things that are opposing me. Okay? And so Jesus knew that the Father had placed all things underneath his authority. So as Jesus is walking into it, even persecution, even the crucifixion, Jesus is surrendering himself to it, but even the crucifixion did not have authority to transform Jesus' heart or transform his identity, because he knew that God had put all things in his power and his own authority. Now, if you're born again, say, I'm born again. That means you're a child of God, and I'm telling you this. You need to know that the Father has placed all things under your authority. But there's a key that we must match what Jesus did, which was surrender to the Father. So I must first submit to God. I must understand the lordship of Jesus. Here's the second thing that Jesus knew, that he had come from God. Let me hear you say, he had come from God. In other words, he knew who he was. He did not need to look at popular media or political news or any of those things to know who he was. He didn't need to listen to even his inner circle, whom one of them was betraying him in that moment. Judas didn't think he was the Messiah. Did that let Jesus stop him from knowing who he was? No. So even when you have people that are close to you who are struggling in their identity, who are struggling in their faith and their understanding, and maybe they even attack you or betray you, that does not mean that you need to lose your identity, that you need to listen to what they're saying, the attack of it. You need to know this. All things have been put underneath my authority, and I know that I come from God. I asked you the question earlier. If you're born again, say, I am. So you must know that you've been born again. What have you been born again into? The likeness of Jesus. The likeness of Jesus. That's your identity. You're a child of God who has full rights, full responsibility, full authority, full ability to be able to live a life that reflects Jesus, the one that you're following after. And that's the same thing. You listen, read through in other parts of John where Jesus is saying, I've only done what I've seen my Father doing. I only say what I hear my Father saying. Why? Because he was submitted to his Father. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit, but he knew who he was. So no matter the chaos around him, the chaos around him never moved his heart to a place where he was shaken. Even I think when he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's stressing out because he knows the pain he's going to go through, and he's actually bleeding, or he's sweating blood. And I mean, like there's stress that's taking place. I think even in that moment, he says this thing. He says, Father, it'd be awesome if you would take this cup of suffering from me, but not my will, but your will be done. And he gets up from that and he walks joyfully to the cross. How do I know it was joyfully? How many people, if you were being faced with being whipped and scourged and all the nastiness of a crucifixion, that you would walk towards it joyfully? But Jesus walks to it joyfully. Why? It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. How could he have joy? Joy, the Lord is the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. Because he knew where he was coming from. He knew that his Father had given him an identity, and because of that, they gave him joy in the face of opposition. And he walked into it. And then this last part of this verse says, and he knew he was returning to the Father. Let me hear you say, he knew he was returning. Why is that important? Because when you're going through this trial, you know that God has never forsaken you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to give up on you. And that what we're experiencing now is temporary compared to eternity. So what do you need to know? How could Jesus joyfully go to the cross? He knew that everything had been placed underneath his authority. He knew where he had come from, and he knew where he was going. And because of that, he was able to go to the cross. But let's look at the context of the rest of the scripture, because there's something that God is doing here that we must pick up on. So verse 4 says this. So he got up from the meal. This is at the Last Supper. He took off his outer clothing. Let me hear you say outer clothing. I told you at the beginning of the service, but there's some people that weren't in here when I said it, is that the specifically Jews had up to 3 layers of clothing. They had an outer cloak, they had this tunic, and then they had these things that would tie them around like with a rope, and so there's multiple layers. So when he takes off his outer clothing, he's literally taking off his jacket, okay? And he lays it aside so that he can do something. But here's what I want you to pick up on, and what I feel like the Lord is wanting to say to you. If you come to the Lord all masked up, all covered up, all saying, and what did Adam and Eve do when they sinned? They covered themselves. Why did they cover themselves? They were ashamed. See, if you allow shame to keep you from intimacy with God, you're missing life. And what it's saying is he says, you need to remove that outer clothing of shame, of guilt, of condemnation. To remove it, throw it aside so you can allow your heart, the intimacy. You're allowing something to happen. I'm excited because Ryan's going to be at the men's breakfast and Mark's just got a really powerful message, and I don't want to give it up or whatever what he's going to do. But we were having a conversation on Friday there's this idea of intimacy that came up between a husband and wife. And what happens in the context of marriage when sex happens? What's the difference between rape and intimacy? Somebody has to give themselves to the other. It requires me giving myself over to the one that I love and saying, I have no outer clothing. I have no shame. I'm giving myself over to you. In the same way, when we interact with the Father, if we come to Him and we're all clothed up, we're not allowing Him to have access to what really matters, and that's the transformation of our heart, the transformation of our soul. This idea of discipleship is so that your soul would prosper. And as in the verse in 1 John, it says, as your soul prospers, the rest of your life is going to prosper as your soul. How do I know that's true? Who in here has ever faced a moment where, like, you were just really down and just had a dark day? Am I the only one? Okay, good. I'm in good company. What was happening in that moment? Your soul wasn't prospering. There was a real event. There was a real situation. There was something going on that was causing your soul to actually be hurt and to be in poverty. And what I'm telling you is that, especially with like this Living Free conference, there's going to be this idea of that if I expose myself to the Lord Himself, what He's going to do is He's going to come in and He's going to begin to minister to my heart where it's hurt. He's going to minister to my soul where it's lacked. And it's going to bring transformation that is instantaneous. And I'm a believer in process. Okay, I've said this before. Kelly's a counselor. I know Cindy's a counselor. I believe process. But process must first begin with an encounter where I am fully given myself over to the one I'm wanting to transform me. Because if you come to Jesus, He'll take you as you are, and He'll minister to you as you are, which means He's never going to force you to go deeper than you're wanting to go. But the invitation is always there for life. And what does it require? It requires me as an act of my will to remove my outer clothing and say, God, I'm here. I'm here. What do you have for me? Now, there's something else, too, in the context of the scripture. So as Jesus goes through this, He gets up, and what does He do? He washes His disciples' feet. So there's this one aspect of this message that's talking about how are you engaging with God. The second part of this is really the context of this verse where it's saying, how do you minister to the world around you? How do you minister to those who are closest to you? If you come to those that are closest to you and you try to minister all bound up, you got your shield up, you got your swords up, and hear me on this, okay? Boundaries are a good thing. Repeat after me, boundaries are a good thing. Let me rephrase that. Healthy boundaries are a good thing. Because there is such a thing as unhealthy boundaries. All right? But healthy boundaries, does that mean that everyone has to have access to the deepest part of your heart? No. That would be foolish. Did Jesus allow Judas to have access to the deepest part of his heart in terms of influence on his heart? No. He had a boundary because He knew that Judas was all bound up. So He wasn't going to let somebody that was bound up influence His heart. That's why intimacy with the Father is so important. You know who you are. You know where you come from. You know where you're going. So that allows you now to be able to influence the world around you. So boundaries are a good thing. However, unhealthy boundaries will say, I'm never going to let you see the real me. And here's why I think that's true. Because you're still hurt. I believe that what keeps us from really demonstrating the love of Jesus to everyone around us is because we're still holding on to hurts, legitimate hurts, things that really happened to us. But because of that, it causes us to say, I'm not going to let you really in. And therefore, you rob people of actually a blessing. Did you know that when God created you, He says, you're very good? If you're born again, say, I am. You were born again into the image of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus really good? Is He perfect? Is He powerful? Is He a lover? Yeah. So really what you're doing is you're shutting yourself off from Jesus. And you're robbing people from an encounter with Jesus. So why is it so important to live free? because it was for freedom that Christ set you free. One of the things we spend a lot of time here at Legacy Church, part of the discipleship, and there's lots of things like we're in on Wednesday night we're going to be starting some other classes like Bible 101 and some of those types of things as we move along down the road. So I believe in helping people understand how to engage with the tools of the faith. But if you engage with the tool of the faith as an orphan, you're going to misread and misinterpret Scripture. You have to understand, like Jesus, he knew who he was. Do you know who you are? Why is it so important to have this understanding? So what happens is now, when I know who I am, I can walk into a room of hurt. And you guys, I realize the way I was about to say this sounded weird. You could walk into a room of hurt people. Work, school, HEB, Walmart, wherever it is, right? And instead of being afraid of how their hurts are going to influence you because you're hurt, you come to this place where God is healing you and you understand. And I remember the verse part of that verse that says, he knew that all things, let me hear you say all things, had been put underneath his authority. So does all things include the hurt that you carried before? So instead of it being over you, you're over it. And from that place of, all right, I'm connecting with you, you're bringing healing, and maybe I'm in the process of healing. If you begin the process of healing, begin to share what God's doing in your heart. Serve people. Love on people. Pray for people. Don't wait till you have a theological degree to declare that Jesus is good. I think one of the most amazing passages of scriptures is when Jesus sets the Gadarene man free. He had a legion of demons. Let's just say he had multiple thousands of demons inside of him. And Jesus radically sets him free. And he wants to get in the boat because the people of the town are deathly afraid of Jesus. And they're deathly afraid of this man because for years and years, because he was demon-possessed, he was doing all kinds of crazy stuff that really jacked them up. And he wants to get in the boat to go away with Jesus. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. You've got a story now. You've got an encounter where I put all things underneath your authority. That now go share and tell about the good things. Let me hear you say the good things. Why do we do goodness of God testimonies? Because that's what Jesus said to do. All the good things that God has done for you. And the scripture tells us he reached 10 cities. So we're wanting to reach New Braunfels. That's first step. I'm going to tell you, we're going to meet with a group of pastors and we're talking about the corridor 35 from San Antonio. And I think he's going to eventually take us all the way up to Dallas. But right now it's up to Austin, the next metropolis in the United States. He's placed us in the heart of that. Why? So we can reach it with what? The goodness of God. But if you walk out there with your church clothes on, your church language on, your church judgment on, religious judgment, and you try to minister to people, people are not going to receive it. But when you go, I know that all things have been put underneath my authority because I belong to my Father in heaven, and I know I'm returning to my Father in heaven, let's go minister to some people. The fear of man begins to evaporate. What do I have to lose? They say no. In other countries, people's heads get cut off for preaching the gospel. Here in the States, what do we get? A door closed in our face? It's time that we begin to become bold with our faith. But here's where it's going to begin. In your walk with Jesus, in your home, setting the atmosphere of faith inside of your home. And that's going to require you being vulnerable with people who may use that against you. But I'm going to say this. If you know who you are, you know who you belong to, you know where you're returning to, you'll never let the things of the earth influence you through fear. It's going to open up these doors for you. So I want you all to stand up with me, and I just want to pray. I feel it's just a real simple message today. I'm going to read you two more passages of Scripture while you're standing up. Romans 13:14 says this, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." In the NLT, it says, "Instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. So there's one thing of what we're doing is I take this off. Now Jesus, as he took his outer clothing off, he went and washed the feet of his disciples, and he came and he put his tunic back on. So it's not that you stay bare all the time, but what are you putting back on? You're putting on Jesus himself. Like, and you never take them off, is my point. Like, you've got to let, but if you don't ever take off those old rags, like, there's this idea of an old wineskin versus new wineskin in Scripture. And what happens if you try to pour new wine into an old wineskin? The old wineskin's going to burst. God doesn't want you to burst. He wants you to be whole. He designed you for wholeness. But until you take off the old and put on the new, when you have encounters sometimes with God, you're going to feel like you're going to burst because you're still operating from this old hurt. And what he's saying is, I've made you whole. Put on Jesus Christ. Don't think about ways to satisfy those old hurts anymore. They're going to continue to bark at you. Tell them to shut up. Like, you've got to know what Jesus did on the cross was enough. Let me hear you say, what Jesus did on the cross for me is enough. Say it one more time. It says, all that you need is to believe that all things are possible. Right? Through Jesus. Let me read you one more scripture and I'm going to pray over you. Galatians 3:26 and 27. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on the character of Christ, like putting on new clothes. So go ahead and put your hands out in front of you, like you're going to receive something. And I feel like he's saying to challenge you on this. Like, really believe you're going to receive something. This isn't a religious exercise that's, we kind of hope something happens. I know God's going to touch you. Like, I know God's going to touch you. Just as much as earlier when I walked up, God said there's going to be multiple people who are going to be saved. I knew that. I'm telling you, God's going to give you something. So right now, Father, as an act of our will, we surrender to you what we have in our hands. We make an act of our will to lay it down right now. So just right where you are, just throw whatever's in your hands down. Now, Lord, prophetically, we're going to take off the old. So right where you're at, just go ahead and act it out. Like, prophetically take off the old thing. Father, in this moment, we know that you have placed all things underneath our authority. We know, Lord, that we have come from you, that our origin story is found in Jesus Christ and him alone. And because of that, that means that we are whole. We know where we're going. We know we're returning to you. I pray in this moment right now, Lord, that you would release to people exactly what they need. Like, you know, Father, what that the place they're at in their faith. And maybe I'm hearing right now, it's the faith to believe that you actually can be healed of that heart hurt. He's releasing faith. He's releasing grace to believe that he really can heal you. And not only can he heal you, he's already done it when he died on the cross. For other people, it's going to be a letting go of an old hurt, an old offense. I'm just seeing old offense right now. Like, there's this bitterness, there's this root of something from the past. And he's releasing over to you right now. He's putting in your hands grace that will allow you to really do what we just did a second ago, where you're able to throw it down. And it no longer is going to weigh you down. For others right now, it's going to be a bold faith. Like, you walked into this place, one person, but you're walking out totally transformed. If anybody knows who Todd White is, Todd White's got this boldness where he just goes and says, man, God loves you, and he just begins to share. There's no fear. And I just feel like right now what's happening is God is releasing, and it's not about Todd, but it's that same type of faith, that same type of boldness where God is releasing over you right now just the boldness. Just boldness. We just declare more Holy Spirit, more of your presence, more of your transformation. God, we thank you that we can call on your name. Let me just release this right now to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I see a group of kids back there. Actually, I see a group of world changers back there. Are y'all going to pray for us? All right. So if you have, go ahead and come up, kiddos. These kids have been learning about praying for the sick. Several weeks ago, they did this, and we saw multiple people radically healed. I'm also going to ask our altar ministry team to be ready and available up here. But before you leave today, even if you don't have some hurt or pain or illness, come receive an impartation from these kids. Like what they carry, they can give to you. And I think it's going to activate you into a whole new realm, if you'll believe. Amen? All right. So, Father, thank you. Have your way right now in Jesus' name. Amen.